to feel more confident with your finances this year? If you have 60 seconds, I can show you how quick and easy it is to start building healthy money habits that could last you the entire year just by using Rocket Money. Step one, download Rocket Money. Step two, link all your accounts and see your entire spending picture, your subscriptions, your upcoming bills, your due dates, everything. Step three, tap a subscription you don't use and cancel it. Boom! That's money back every single month. Step four, create a financial goal for something you want to save for, whether it be a vacation, a retirement account, or a pet's birthday. We don't judge. Now let the app automatically move small amounts of cash towards your goal. In a month, you'll see real dollars piling up. In a year, you'll be shocked at how much money you saved. Similar to the over 10 million members on the app that have saved up to $740 a year when using all of the app's premium features. Use the savings challenge as one step closer to feeling better about your finances today at rocketmoney.com/cancel. That's rocketmoney.com/cancel. One more time, it's rocketmoney.com/cancel.
And we are going to get to your calls in just a few minutes' time. Firstly, though, I want to head straight to Washington. Simon Marks is LBC's US correspondent. I would be quite surprised if Simon's had any sleep of any quality or consequence at all, not just in the last 24 hours, but pretty much this year. Simon, good morning.
Good morning to you, Darren. You would be correct to make that observation. Can I just tell you that I loathe the inauguration?
Why is that?
Because it's always raining, it's always icy, it's always freezing cold, and you've got to get up at 4 o'clock in the morning to get to Capitol Hill to go through all the security checks. And in January, you'll be doing it to watch Donald Trump being inaugurated.
Why did the Founding Fathers pick the 20th of January? It is, I've never been entirely sure why that is.
I have no it's high noon when it all happens, yeah. Of course, yeah. And it would be fine if we could all rock up there at 11:30 in the morning and just hang out for 30 minutes and wait for it to happen. But instead, they make you get there literally at 3:30, 3:45 in the morning. It is the most, as a reporter, it is the most miserable physical experience you can go through in Washington, D.C.
Well,
we've all been through quite another extraordinary physical experience over the last 36 hours.
Absolutely. I suspect most people in America are not considering the oddity of having Inauguration Day in the middle of January in Washington. They will be considering far more acutely the person who will be inaugurated and the fact that Donald Trump, against all of the odds, and I mean that phrase literally, against all the odds, has been elected president. What has been the reaction?
Well, I mean, it's just been a thunderbolt. The entire city, Washington, D.C., which, as you know, is a Democratic Party stronghold, clearly did not see this coming. All the polling data in the last two or three days of the campaign indicated not just Hillary Clinton with a national lead over Donald Trump and a lead in the battleground states, but with a lead that was growing. I was just on a TV show here in the United States talking about the international reaction to Donald Trump's election. And before me, a prominent pollster here in town was being hauled over the coals by Chris Matthews on MSNBC and asked how the pollsters could have got it so wrong. And, you know, that's a subject that in the UK, of course, we are relatively accustomed to. But here, the pollsters always like to say, you know, that they're so much more scientific in their process and there are so many more of these polls and they're so much deeper and more analytical. But every single one of them was completely wrong. And very interestingly, on that program, Celinda Lake, who, as I say, is a prominent Democratic pollster here in Washington, conceded that she believes there is indeed such a thing as the shy Donald Trump supporter, in essence, the American equivalent of the shy Tory, and that they simply were not being picked up in the polls because all the polling and all the modelling was wrong. The New York Times, every day for the last 7 or 8 months on its front page and on its website, has had this probability index of, you know, the likelihood of Donald Trump becoming president versus Hillary Clinton. And, you know, a couple of weeks ago, Hillary Clinton, 92% probability of becoming president. Donald Trump, 8% probability. That was right after the third presidential debate. And then last night, in a matter of minutes, those numbers were ticking in completely the opposite direction, to the point where you get to the end of this process and you say, well, what on earth was the good of all that? I mean, Donald Trump succeeded last night in ripping the final pages out of the political rule book in this country. He has confounded completely the conventional wisdom in Washington, D.C. from the very day he entered this presidential race until the very moment that he won it. And a completely new rule book has to be written.
We know, of course, that this has been the most negative campaign on both sides. I mean, it's what's been quite striking for me, actually, Simon, in that all presidential elections up until this one, there has at least been a sort of hesitancy to go negative. There's been an idea that going negative is not the sort of thing you want to do. Absolutely no hesitancy in this election. It was negative on both sides from the very outset. And what seems to have happened with both candidates receiving fewer votes than in the last two previous elections for either candidate, Hillary Clinton losing 6 million votes. She did ultimately, of course, come out slightly on top in the popular vote, but that's not what I'm talking about here. She lost 6 million votes relative to Mitt Romney in the last election. This has been a victory as much against Hillary Clinton as for Donald Trump, hasn't it?
Yes, I mean, we always knew that when voters went into the polling stations yesterday, for millions of them across the country, it was a choice between the lesser of two evils. And I forget if I told you this 24 hours ago, Darren, or one of the other presenters on LBC, but we encountered a voter in Virginia during the course of voting yesterday who came out of the polling station and said, you know, I've been participating in elections here in Virginia for the last 50 years, and this is the first time that when I walked into the booth, I simply could not bring myself to vote in the presidential election. She'd voted in the local elections. She'd voted in the congressional races. She'd voted in the ballot initiatives that were up for grabs in Virginia. But she could not bring herself to vote for either of the two main presidential candidates. And, you know, after we spoke to her down in Virginia yesterday, we were wondering just how many more people like that there may be out there, and they too didn't show up in the polls. And so I think in many ways, this was a substantial vote against Hillary Clinton, reflective of the enormous negatives that she had in society here that she was never able to overcome. I mean, we were talking about this right around the time of the Democratic Convention in Philadelphia. You know, the idea that the Democratic Party felt it was possible 25 years after she became part and parcel of the political furniture here to reintroduce her to Americans, to try and persuade Americans that everything they knew about Hillary Clinton wasn't actually correct, and in fact there was this other, much more authentic Hillary Clinton lurking on the inside, just waiting to escape and come and introduce herself to them. That was always going to be a very, very high bar for the Democrats to meet. And for the Republicans, of course, Donald Trump also had an astonishing number of negatives, but and again, confounding the political wisdom, the lesson of the 2012 election, Republicans thought, was that they needed to broaden their appeal and reach out to minority voters. And Donald Trump showed them that actually they could win the keys to the White House by simply growing the white vote. And that's an amazing political achievement, whatever you think of Donald Trump.
I'm going to let you go in a second, Simon. I just want to quickly remind you of the phone number. My phone number here is 0345 606 0973. Very keen to hear what you have made as the dust, well, the dust hasn't even really begun to settle, but as it thinks about beginning to settle, what do you make of the result? 0345 606 0973, or get to your calls in a couple of minutes. You can text and tweet and email as well. But very quickly, Simon, what do you make of these protests which seem to be springing up? Because I think it's really, really strange. I am about as opposed to the idea of Donald Trump being president as it's possible to imagine. But if I were in America right now, as a Democrat, I don't mean a party political Democrat, I mean someone who believes in democracy, why would somebody in New York or Boston or Chicago go onto the streets to demonstrate against a democratically judged result, given that no one has really an issue with the problem, with the process here?
Well, I do think that these are nervous times. I mean, this has been such a visceral election. This has been an election in which the language has been so violent and so dramatic on both sides. I mean, this is not just a question of Donald Trump mobilizing people from the conservative fringes of Republican politics. This was also an election that saw Bernie Sanders finding it difficult after he lost that primary contest to control some of his voters from the left wing of the Democratic Party. And there are some people here who are genuinely, absolutely stung by the idea advanced by Barack Obama at the White House a few hours ago, that now we can all just move on and everybody can rally around Donald Trump. He is our president. There are many core Democratic Party supporters who reject the idea that Donald Trump can ever be their president because the views that he espouses and that he voiced on the campaign trail were so antithetical to the core values of some of those core Hillary Clinton supporters, some of those grassroots Democrats. And I think it's going to be very interesting. We have to keep a very close eye on these protests and demonstrations over the next few days to see if this turns into anything more than the occasional sporadic sign of civil disobedience with people saying, Donald Trump is not my president.
I think what people would want it to turn into is a renewed sense of democracy, the importance of democracy. You know, if you're not happy with the result, absolutely fine. You've got the midterms in 2 years' time. You've got another presidential election in 4 years' time. And, of course, the process for that will start long before 4 years away. That surely is where those energies should be channeled. And as I say, I say that as someone who is absolutely appalled by the election of Donald Trump. But I wouldn't be out in the streets marching.
No, but I would just say, Darren, that I think that that argument applies to what may now be viewed as the old politics. What we saw in this election was a slightly different and new set of political rules and political engagements. And the biggest difficulty Donald Trump is going to have is unifying the country around him. I mean, even Hillary Clinton today said, you know, we've got to give him the benefit of the doubt. We've got to go into this with an open mind, she said.
Yeah.
But equally, she was saying to her supporters, you've got to be ready to guard against any moves that are made to eradicate America's core values. She won't be their leader going forward. That speech was essentially her last act at the end of a 25-year career in public service. But she was telling them to stand by and be ready to hold his feet to the fire.
Simon, I tweeted you last night in a jocular fashion, in fact, before the results came in, saying that we're now looking ahead to the 2020 election. But it'll be honest before we know it. And I'm not going to ask for your predictions on that right now. I'm going to thank you so much for your sterling work, not just over the last 24 hours, but in the run-up to this astonishing election. Doubtless we shall speak again soon as we head into the era of President Donald Trump.